there and welcome to the Limitless Church Podcast. We're so excited that you decided to join in with us today. Now, we're always inspired to hear how God is using Limitless Church to change lives. If you have a story to share of how God has used this ministry in your life, would you take a moment and send us an email at mystory@limitlesschurch.online. Now, you can also support this ministry financially. By doing so, you help us bring messages just like this one to you each and every single week. You can do that online at limitlesschurch.online/give. Now prepare your hearts to hear a word from God.
There's certain things that whether we are united or divided determine what God can do, not only in us together united corporately, but in our lives individually. Because God only does things first corporately before he does things individually. God cannot do anything in your individual life that he first doesn't do within the body that you are connected to. You say, what does that mean? When the power of the Holy Ghost showed up in Acts chapter 2, it says they were all in one place and in one accord. And because of their unity, that unity released the power of God. They were all in one place and in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. The sound from heaven was not a wind. It sounded like a wind. It said the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It didn't say that a wind came from heaven. It said the sound came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. That's a whole nother message. I'm not going to go completely there today, but I can tell you this. Why did it make the sound like a wind and yet it was not a wind? Is because it is the sound of the mantle falling. That's a little deep for you on Sunday morning, but that's all right. Then that's why when Elijah went to heaven, the Bible says that when the chariots took him up, he dropped his mantle off of his shoulders. And when he dropped his mantle off of his shoulders, Elisha, the only one that was left of the sons of the prophet to follow him as far as he did, went and picked up the mantle, put it on his shoulders, pointed his finger to the sky, and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And he received a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Not the spirit of God, Elijah's spirit. That's going to get too deep today. Why? It's because there are no original anointings in the earth. That means everything God's doing in your life, he's already done in someone's life. And the only anointing you receive, listen, if God empowers you, if God calls you, if God puts a calling anointing on your life, that anointing you walk in your life didn't start with you. There are no original anointings in the earth. That means whatever you walk in God didn't come to you from God directly. It came from somebody who then you submitted under, and that you came under came on you. That's quiet right now. I'll show you that God, there are no, what do you mean? I'll show you every blessing, every anointing, every empowerment. That's why when Israel got ready to pray, they would pray prayers. They wouldn't come to God and say, "Oh God, bless us, move for us." They would first approach God and say, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hearken to us." Because God, whatever you're doing on us didn't originate with us. It started with a promise you gave them, and we're now just walking in the promise because we came under the promise, and because we're covenanted under them and we're a son of Abraham, therefore now we receive the blessing of Abraham, not because of who we are, but because of who our daddy was. Oh Lord. That's a little strong today, but it's okay. It's going to get deep in here before long. Why? Is because you need to understand whatever you walk in. Listen, why is it that we have raised a generation that will let us feed them, but won't let us lead them? We've raised a generation now where we want pastors by position, not by relationship. Oh, I'm preaching this in my own church. This is what I do on the road. I can't do this in here. I'll mess you up. Maybe that's why there ain't no crowd here today, just so we can get down to business. Amen. Look, you never say Separation Sunday. Separation Sunday. Every now and then, Jesus would have Separation Sunday, you know. Oh, yeah. You know, Jesus is not good at church growth. Jesus specializes in church emptying. Whenever Jesus comes to church, he never grows it. Whenever Jesus comes to church, he empties it. We're about church growth. Jesus is about church emptying. Like every now and then, like every now and then, when he would turn around and see the crowd got too big, he'd turn around and have Separation Sunday. Because everything that's walking with you ain't always with you. Oh. Every now and then, he'd turn around and separate those, what I call the saints from the ain'ts. He would separate those that were opportunists from those that were really disciples. And he would turn around and say things like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part with me. And all of the multitude were gone. And even the disciples would turn and say, what are you saying? They said, we know you're not talking about cannibalism. We know we don't want you to, you don't want us to literally eat you. This is a hard saying. What are you saying? And Jesus would turn and he said to them, he didn't go, oh no, you misinterpreted what I said. Oh, you misunderstood. No, he turned to the disciples and said, you can go too if you want to. He said, because he said, I don't want you to get confused on the order of this. He said, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. He said, I need you to get a real quick understanding of where the oil's flowing from and where the anointing's flowing from. And he would have, every now and then, he'd have Separation Sunday, and he would say some stuff. Like when Jesus comes to church, he doesn't come to church with pom-poms. Jesus comes to church with a whip and a chair. He starts kicking tables over. He starts running people out of the church. Why? Why? It's because Jesus wants to be clear that there's a difference between being saved and being a disciple. He wants to quickly for you to understand there's a difference between being blessed by ministry and walking with ministry. It's quiet in here today. It's quiet most days, but it's really quiet today. And why is that? It's because he wants you to understand. He wants you to see and understand that we've raised a generation now that will want us to feed them, but will not let us lead them. But that's not how this works. You know that, right? You understand that how God feeds you is that God doesn't bring you to a trough somewhere and put seed and feed in it and then say, everybody gather to the trough and come feed on the trough. That's not how he feeds. Well, how do you get fed? He said, it's impossible for me to feed you and me not lead you. Because he feeds this way. You want to know how the Lord feeds? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh. That means because he's my shepherd, I've never been hungry. That means he always feeds me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How come you don't want? How come he always feeds you? You want to know why he always feeds me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. How God feeds you is that he doesn't gather you in to feed you. He says, come on and follow me. He says, now if you follow me and let me lead you, my leading is going to turn into feeding, because I don't feed you from a trough. I take you to a pasture because you are sheep. And because you are sheep, I lead you to the pasture. Now if you don't let me lead you, then I can't feed you, because the feeding comes after the leading. Somebody pray for Bishop right now. Pray for. Why? It's because this is new understanding for a lot of people in the body of Christ. You want to know why it's new understanding? It's new understanding because this generation has lost the understanding of spiritual authority. When I say spiritual authority, how many know what spiritual authority means? One, two, three, four. Wow. That's pretty impressive. Four, five. Today, that's impressive. I'm serious. Why? It's because we've lost. You want to know where we've lost the power and where we've lost the authority and where we've lost the glory and where we've lost the anointing is because when you lose reverence, you lose revelation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence of God and for God and the things of God and the men of God and the women of God is the beginning of wisdom. The reason the body of Christ, you don't even need a Bible anymore to preach, is because we've raised a generation, not just of church people, we've raised a generation of preachers that don't even know their Bible. We've raised a generation of preachers that now read more business marketing books than they do the scripture. It's quiet now. I didn't mean to come this hard. You just caught me off the road and I'm ready to give it to you. Amen. You caught me on the tail end of me being me. Amen. Hallelujah. Is it all right if I'm myself in my own house? Is it okay if I raise some, not just a lot of people, but some healthy people? Is it okay if you go stronger, not just bigger? Can I tell you, never confuse size with significance. And never confuse big with successful. Because just because something's big doesn't mean it's healthy. Because infection causes swelling. That means maybe it's not growing, maybe it's sick. But because here's the thing is, size doesn't always mean you're healthy. But if you're healthy, sooner or later, you can't help but get big. Because if it's healthy, it's growing. Amen? And so I want to just show you this. He says, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. He says, there's an anointment, an anointing that is only released over the body when the body is fully prepared. And the first thing that's required for a certain level of anointing is that we are one. That's why when they were all in one place and in one accord, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Why? It's because their unity released the anointing that would not have been there if they had not been unified. Because when we get beyond ourselves and become one for one purpose and one calling and one mission, God releases something that won't be released over us individually. It has to happen to us corporately. That's why when the presence of God filled the upper room, the Bible says, and the house, and he filled the house where they were sitting. And then it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice something. He filled the house before he filled the people. Because he always fills us corporately before he fills us individually. That means the only way you get the oil in you is if you are in the house where the oil was poured. That means if they weren't in the house that was filled, they don't get filled. Nobody downstairs was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. The only ones that got filled with the Holy Ghost were those that were in the house, in the upper room, that were all in one place and in one accord. That means he fills the place before he fills the people. That means he fills us corporately before he fills us individually. Why? It's because he wants you to know that what I'm pouring out into you is not about you. It's about what you're tied to that's bigger than you. And until you can lose yourself in something bigger than you, you're not ready for what I have for you, because I don't give it to you. I give it to us. I give it to all of us, because I pour it over you to pour it over the body. Because if I pour it over one of you, I pour it over all of you. If I give it to any of you, I give it to every one of you, because you are one. Look, you never say we got to get it together. 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 Can I tell you, the only way we get it is together. Whew. It's too much. I got not enough time. I want to, because why? It's because I just want to download so much to you and teach you so much, simply because I want to show you that even tithing is not individual. If anybody's ever heard and learned tithing and everybody's ever taught you tithing, they always go to the same scripture, you know, Malachi 3, verse 10, you know, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith that I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there is no room for you to receive. Can I tell you that that scripture is not about individuals? That if you read the beginning of that chapter, he says, You have robbed me. Even you, Israel, the whole nation. So this text about tithing is not about individuals. He's speaking to Israel because he looks at Israel like he looks at us as church. He looks at us as one. That means if one of us is in disobedience, we're all in disobedience. Ooh. Wow. So when he says, and they said, wherein have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. He said, but bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house and prove me now herewith. It's the only time he ever says, prove me. He says, prove me now herewith if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He's not speaking to Josh. He's not speaking to saying, bring all your tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house and prove me and I will pour you out a blessing that there's no room for you to receive. No, he's saying this. He's saying, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house and prove me now herewith that I will not pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. That means I want to pour a blessing, not over an individual. He said, I want to pour a blessing over the entire body, but I need the entire body to walk in unity. If I had time, I would show you. That's why got Achan in trouble, is because Achan was a man that when they went into Ai, he told God, every other time that God ever told Israel, go and take a city, he said, when you take the city, take all the goods from the city. Take everything they got. But when they got to little Ai, he told Israel, he said, with this time, when you go in, just don't take anything. Leave everything behind. Don't touch anything. Don't touch silverware. Don't touch a ring. Don't touch anything. Take the city. Leave all the goods. And everybody obeyed God, but one man, and his name was Achan. And Achan took a Babylonian robe and garment and put it in his stuff and hid it in his house. And when they went to go to fight the next city, they were totally defeated by small little tiny Ai, small little tiny city. They were defeated by, they've been whipping Jericho. They've been whipping all these huge cities and nations. And they come to this little tiny, oh, this is nothing. We can just send a band out there and kill them. And they lose everybody. Why? And Joshua, when he loses, throws a fit. He throws himself on the floor, rends his garment, says, God, what's going on? I mean, we've been winning all these battles, and now this little tiny city we lose to, why would we lose to them? Why, God, what's going on? See, because when you lose, you ought not like it. Because we're not supposed to lose, we're supposed to win. Can I get an amen? We're supposed to walk in victory. So if there's some losing going on, God, what's going on? And God says, get up, Joshua. What's wrong with you? He said, God, why are we losing? You called us to win and take the land. Then why'd you call us to do this and make us lose? He said, you sinned. He's like, what are you talking about? He said, no, Israel has sinned. But Israel didn't sin. Achan sinned. Achan's the only one that took something. But God said, when I see Israel, I don't see individuals. I see you as one. And so they start, so Joshua sends out encampments and says, I want you to go, we're going to find this road. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to find this road. We're going to find this road. We're going to find this road. Oh, yeah, we're going to find this road. He said, where is this joker who took this road? We done lost our children. Somebody done wiped out my whole family. We lost this battle. Where is this? And they get to the house of Achan, and they don't even have to go in because God already reveals this is the man. And they go in. They go in there. These are church people now. Nice, sweet church people. They go into Achan's house, grab up Achan by the nape of the neck, drag him out of the house. Not just Achan. They get his lovely wife, and they bring her with him. Yeah. Not only the wife, but the children. the babies, the dog, the cat, the flea, anything that belonged in that house. They drag it out. They stone them to death. Then they burn them with fire until they're completely consumed with fire. And then they load stones on top of them till you can't even see their burnt up carcass. What would make sweet church people act like that? So you might understand it until you've been through the desert for 40 years. You might understand it until you've sat through Egypt for 400 years. And it's cost you everything. And finally, you enter the promise, and now somebody's going to mess with. Look at neighbor, say, I love you. Oh, say, I love you, but don't mess with my stuff. I love you, but I will take you out. I love you, but I'm not going to let what you do stop what God wants to do in us. Why? It's because God is saying, I don't look at you individually. I look at you as one. Oh, God. I wish I had time. I'd take you to the New Testament. I'd show you how God doesn't mess with it, because everybody looks at that and says, that's the Old Testament. That ain't the New Testament. This is the dispensation of grace. This is mercy. After all, that's judgment. All them Old Testament scriptures, God ain't killing people today. Well, let's come over into the New Testament. Let's come on over into grace. Grace. God's grace. Let's come on over to the first time that to the New Testament church, that the first thing that happens after they come down from the upper room, and all of a sudden now the first thing they do is the first service they have is not a shouting service, it's an offering. It's such an offering. Oh, why? It's a brand new church. Why is God having me do this right now? It's such an offering that for the entire service is a 4-hour offering. Woo, we get mad if the offering goes for 15 minutes. 4 hours of nothing but giving, and here was the command. See, this is for people that are saying, "Well, I just don't believe in the tithe. I don't believe in that. I just don't believe that's an Old Testament scripture." All right, that's okay. What model of giving do you want? Do you want the model of giving of Jesus's model of giving? Because Jesus' model of giving is this. Jesus' model of giving is this: sell everything you got, and then bring it all. Got so quiet in here right now. I'm not telling you to sell everything. You said, but that's the model of, watch, the New Testament church, they said, we want you to sell your property. We want you to sell a piece of property. And when you sell a piece of property, we want you to bring the what you sell it for and bring it to the feet of the apostles. Watch this. That's New Testament. He said, bring it to the feet of the apostles. And watch this. They bring it. And there, here comes, everybody's obeying, but here comes Brother Ananias. Brother Ananias comes in, and he's got his envelope, and he's waving the envelope, just like everybody waved the envelope. And he comes in and says, "I'm ready to give." And God speaks to Peter. Man, this is strong this morning. He says, he didn't. That's not everything. And Peter says, I'm going to give you a chance. Is this really what you really sold it for? And he says, yeah. And instantly, in the New Testament, in the grace period of God, Ananias, because Peter turned to him and said, "You didn't lie to me. You lied to God." Here comes Sapphira, Ananias' lovely wife. And she's coming right behind him. And she comes and brings her little tithe check. And she says, "Here." And he says, "Is this really all?" He says, "I'm going to give you a chance." He said, "Because the footmen that carried your husband out at the door." And she says, "Yeah, this is it." And phew, they're dead. Why? It's because God doesn't play. is because God is saying, I want you to understand that when you enter into the body of Christ, what you really enter into, I want to show you, he says, I want to show you that this ain't about being part in, half in, partially in. I'm sort of committed. I'm sort of with it. Man, this is too strong today. When I'm trying to grow a church and God has me start speaking this, it must be an indication of how strong God's going to make this body, because God wants to make this body of people that understand the mission that God has called us to is not going to require partial in, not sort of in, not a casual in. And I know this region and I understand how we operate church in this region. We operate church like it's a beach. You come to visit it every now and then. Quiet now. Why? It's because there's a spirit that reigns over top of this region. And if God sent me in this region, we're going to break this spirit. And the spirit is the fact that most people in church today in this region don't have roots, are not planted, are not grounded, and do not grow as a result of it. We go to church and we choose church like we're choosing the smorgasbord, and we decide whether or not what taste we have today, and we decide whether or not we want that deep revelation this Sunday. If we do, we'll go down to Limelight. We want to go have good worship. If we want good worship, we'll go over here where the band is nice and they got the nice light. And we'll go over here and we pick and choose because we got our own relationship with Jesus. No, honey, until you are grounded, rooted, and connected to the body, you will never find your purpose. And I came to break it in Hampton Roads. If it's the last thing I do, we're going to raise a people that have some roots and bring some fruits. Oh, can I get an amen? Amen. Look it up and say, all in, baby. All in. All in. So watch this. He says, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell. Dwell. You know what that means? It means to sit down with and stay. Whew. I've never in all my life seen such a restless spirit as in this generation. We all have spiritual ADHD to where we don't have enough attention to pay anything. We're in one day. That's why the music's got to hit at this time. That's why the sound's got to, that's why we got to, because we want a cookie cutter, microwave, stir fry, shake and bake experience with God. We want to come into church like we're driving through Chick-fil-A's drive-thru. We want to come to church. We want to come to church, and we want it now, and we want it quick, and we want somebody at the hallway out with a tablet to get my order before I get into church so I can get my stuff and get out of here, because it's not about what God's doing in here. It's about what I want, when I want it, how I want it. Touch your neighbor and say, shut up and sit down. Shut up and sit down. There's certain things you can't get until you dwell. There's certain things you can't get until you linger. There's certain things you can't get until you're connected and committed and in covenant. God has designated this thing that if it's in God, it's covenant. And covenant requires you to stay. Contracts are temporal. Covenants are eternal. Contracts have conditions. Covenants are unconditional. That means when I make covenant, it's not about whether I like you this week or not next week. It means I am in covenant with this house. That means my blessing flows in this place and I ain't going nowhere. Woo! He says, how good and pleasant it is. Touch your neighbor, say, dwell. Dwell. How good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, I want you together to sit down together with, but don't just get together if you ain't going to get together. To dwell together in unity, for it is like the precious ointment. He said, there's an oil I'm waiting to pour over the body. He said, that there's an ointment that pours from the head down the beard and down the skirts of the garment. Do you know this? Even Aaron's beard. Aaron is the Old Testament high priest. He becomes the type and shadow of the New Testament high priest. I wonder who our New Testament high priest is. For we have not a high priest that is not touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Touch me and say, I like my high priest. I like my high priest. Jesus is our high priest. That means if you look at how the body of Christ gets anointed spiritually. You have to see how the body of Aaron as the high priest gets anointed naturally. Because whatever determines the natural outpouring also is the shadow and the type to learn how it gets anointed spiritually. He said unity is the first criteria for the oil to flow. He said, for it flows upon the head and down the beard. He said, when you come together as one, there's an anointing and an empowerment from God that's going to come over that body that would never come until you are full in and fully unified. And he said, when it pours, it'll start from the head and down the beard. Now the head of that's why he says the head of the woman is the man, and I'm not doing marriage right now. He said, but he's given an illustration, just as Christ is the head of the church. That means I don't want any oil that doesn't start with that head. Amen. That means the oil flows from Christ, from the head, down the beard, and down the skirts of the garment. What's the beard? I didn't grow it on purpose for this. He said, from the head down the beard. The beard represents those that are in headship in Christ. That's why he says, honor the long-bearded ones. It's because the long-bearded ones represented the elders, those that he places in leadership in the headship of Christ over the body. Man, when I start talking about these things, it's like I need to start from ground zero. Why? It's because we've lost the understanding of what it is to submit to leadership. And he says, from the head to the beard, down the skirts of the garment. That means before it gets from the head, Jesus, to the body, it goes through the beard. That means there's a headship. In the headship, he puts leadership. He gives you some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some prophets, some evangelists, fivefold ministry. What? Why did he put them over the body? It's for edification. That means to build you up and for the perfecting of the saints. That means to build you and mature you and equip you for the work of the ministry. That means as we and the headship do the work of the ministry, our ministry is out of order and defeated. Oh, too much heavy stuff today on Sunday. Why? Do you know that's why most churches don't grow? And why most ministries get defeated? It's because they think they know the job description of their pastor. They think the job description of the pastor is to do anything and everything that's needed for the ministry. Do you know if I do any of the work in the ministry, and we do a lot right now just because we're starting and that's all God, that's good and that's God. But we got to quickly get it to the place where the body does the work of the ministry. Why? Is because if I do the work of the ministry, our ministry is defeated. Is because the work of the ministry is not to be done by the fivefold. The fivefold to equip the body for the ministry. That means my job. God speaks to the first pastor of the New Testament church, Peter. And he says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yeah, I love you. He said, no, do you love me? He says, yeah, I love you. No, he said, no, Pastor Peter, do you really love me? He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. He said, that's your job description. Your job description is to get alone with me and hear what I want to say and equip the body. Now, if you don't equip the body, it's on you, Peter. But if you give the goods, it's not on you anymore. And if you're having to do the work of the ministry, that ministry is defeated because you're to empower them that they may do the work of the ministry. That means church is not the place where we come to receive ministry. Church is the place we come in to do ministry. We come to do the work. That's why you can't come in here and sit down like this is a fraternity, like this is a spiritual yuppie club. Do we even use the term yuppie anymore? Why? What do you mean? This is not the Kiwanis. This is not the Lions Club. There you get a membership and sit down. And here you come in and you got to get ready to pack light and move fast. When you come in here, you came in here on purpose for a purpose. That means I don't care whether you've been saved for 20 years or for 2 days. If you got saved, it's time to be a disciple maker. It's time for God, the same God that did it in you, to do it through you. And you may not be ready to be a leader in somewhere, but you can serve somewhere. Why? It's because I want to help somebody else receive what God did in me. From the head to the beard. That means until you're submitted underneath the headship, the oil can't hit you. From the head to the beard, to the skirts of the garment. That means you can only walk in authority when you are under authority. Jesus turned to the centurion who was on the way to the centurion's house, and I'll finish this next week. He was on the way to the centurion's house. He said, I want you to come to my house to heal the daughter of one of my servants. The centurion stopped him in the middle of the road and said, you don't have to come to my house. He said, you can speak whatever's in my house from the road. You can speak to whatever's in my house, and whatever's in my house has got to come out of my house by the power of your word. Jesus said, how do you know that? You're not even saved. You're a Roman centurion. He said, I don't need to be saved to know authority. He said, I'm a man in authority. Because I'm a man under authority. I speak to this one and he goes this way. I speak to that one and he goes that way. Why? How do I have the authority to speak to this thing and it go that way and this way? It's because I'm in authority. Well, why are you in authority? I'm in authority because I'm under authority. That means I can't be in more authority than I'm submitted under. Some of us wonder why the enemy can come into our life and out of our life, attack us, and run riffshod through our whole household, and we feel like we are powerless against it and feel like we can't do anything against it. It's because we're exactly right. You want to know why? It's because we talk about God's power, but we operate in none, because you can't walk in power until you're submitted under power. You can't walk in authority until you're submitted under authority. And because we won't come under anyone's authority, we can't walk in authority. Only when I'm under the head. It's only the body that's under the head. Watch this. It flows from the head to the beard, down the skirts of the garment. It flows over the body. But watch this. It says from the head to the beard to the skirts. It doesn't say it ever touches the body. It never touches the body. The oil never touches the body. The anointing, it says it touched the head to the beard to the skirts of the garment. It means it touches the garment, not the body. That means the only way the body receives the anointing is when it's under the covering that the anointing's flowing over. Why do you think the enemy always wants people to be offended with church? Why do you think the enemy always wants people to get wounded, hurt, get upset because they talk too much about money this week? Why do you think the enemy always wants somebody to see one flaw in somebody in church and then use that as the excuse to not have to be connected? Is because the moment you disconnect and from underneath the covering is the moment that you just released yourself from receiving the oil, because the oil doesn't pour over you, it pours over the covering, and the only way you get it is when you're connected to the body, submitted to the head, and under the covering. And it flows to the skirts of the garment, and I'll finish there. The skirts, the hem of the garment. That means something about the priest's garment. The priest's garment were so made of so finely woven linen. The ephod of the garment was so finely woven of linen that when they poured the oil over the head, which happened to be 6.5 quarts of oil. Wow. That means when the real oil pours, everybody's leaving wet. Not just the deep spiritual ones. That means when the real oil pours, if you in the house, you getting hit. If it's 6.5 quarts of oil, he didn't say, you know, today, if we go to anoint you, if we ever do that anymore, and we lay hands on you, we take the little bottle of oil that we bought from the Bible store, smells like cinnamon and stuff. We take it, put a little, Lord, So that's how we anoint. 6.5 quarts of oil. That means there's going to be some hair appointments on Monday. 6.5 quarts of oil, because whenever God really anoints you, I don't need a business card to tell me you're anointed. When God really anoints you, oh God, away with all this stuff where we need to market it like crazy. No, you want to know Jesus marketing? Let somebody get out of wheelchairs. You want to know Jesus marketing? Jesus marketing, give me the crack baby in my arms and I'll make the screaming crack baby go to sleep under the authority and the anointing of God. You want real marketing? Let some miracles, real miracles, break out in this place. You'll see people flood in this house because it's not something somebody's talking about. It's the real genuine power of a living God. How many are ready for God to move? Hit somebody, say, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. You got to be willing to let it get wet. You got to be willing to let God mess you up. You got to be willing to walk out of here looking saturated. You got to be willing to walk out of here saying, God, whatever, I'm not worried about what people think of me. I'd rather be powerful than be popular. I'd rather have your goods than let people think I'm all that good. I'd rather be good with you than good with them. God, let me see the real glory. Give me the real thing. Let me have the real anointing. Watch this. 6.5 quarts, pours from the head down the beard. And it's so finely woven linen that there was something about the fabric that when it hit the garment, it couldn't absorb. It had to keep flowing. It had no absorbent quality. So whenever the oil hit it, it kept pouring, 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 and nothing soaked into the garment. That's because God said, when I pour the oil, it's not for one part of the body to think it has all the oil. It's not for one part to be the spiritual part of the body and the deep people. He said, when the oil pours, it has to hit the whole garment. Look at him say, let it flow, let it flow. That means I might not be anointed to do what you do, but I'm anointed for something. That means my gift might not be your gift, but my gift is for something. And I don't know why God's having me do this, but I'm sitting in the room of some of the most gifted people I've ever seen in my entire life. If I've ever been proud of anything, and pride, not bad pride, but good pride, I'm proud to be called your pastor, because I'm looking at some people that our world changes. I'm looking at some people that if you really step into your thing, the world is going to feel it shake. Oh, touch your neighbor, say, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. I might not be anointed to sing like Kelly and them. I might not be able to be anointed to be able to do a graphic like Jonathan could do or know all of that. I might not be able to strategize and link together all the setup, but I'm anointed for something I'm anointed for, and I release that oil over your life for what God's joined you and connected you to this body for. He said, let it flow. Watch this. Down the skirts of the garment. Why the skirts? Because if you want to see the most anointed part of the body, it's not the head. If I raise a church where I'm the most anointed vessel in that church, I want to quit tomorrow. Because in the body of Christ, the most anointed vessel, the most anointed part is not the head. It's the feet. Because the oil flows until it gets to the skirt, because that's where the hem is. And wherever the hem is, it's cuffed. And because it's cuffed, the oil collects. That means the greatest point of release of anointing is not somebody who's been saved for 30 years. The greatest point of release of anointing, I tell people, you want to know who the most anointed people are in your church? Give me somebody that got saved in the last 3 months. Is because they haven't been saved long enough to get churchified yet. They haven't been saved long enough to get in the clique. They haven't been saved long enough to get in the club. They haven't been saved long enough to be able to be churchy and just do the two-step. Hallelujah. We don't even do the two-step. We just watch somebody do the two-step. Well, it's because when you start singing, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. They ain't been saved long enough not to know better than to dance like David does. They were just in the club twerking last night, and now they're just twerking for Jesus. David danced until he danced right out of his clothes. until his wife said, look at you, King David. See, you haven't really praised him till it's embarrassing. You ain't really praised him until somebody in your family gets annoyed by you. You haven't really worshiped until you get out of yourself and out of your dignity and say, God, whatever you want to do with me, however you want to do with me. Oh, God. Woo. Why are you saying this? I'm not telling you we ain't going to be classy. We're going to keep it classy, limitless. But in the middle of classy, you can be powerful. That means I'm never going to be more classy than I am anointed. I'm never going to let my dignity outweigh my destiny. I will get loose in the Holy Ghost. I will get free in God. If God wants to shake me, let him shake me. If God wants me to roll on the floor, I will roll in this floor. Lift your hands at me all over this house. I feel God in this room. There's a release. Watch this. Why do you think the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't say, if I can just get close enough to touch him. The woman of the issue of blood said, if I can get just close enough to touch his garment, I'll be made whole. If I can just touch the hem, it sounds like she's just saying, if I can barely get to him. No, she knows where the oil's released. She knows I don't need to touch his head. Give me the place down at his feet. Give me the place where it's fresh, where it's new. I'm talking to somebody in this room. When God brought you into Limitless, he didn't just give you a chance to be part of a new church. When God put on you part of Limitless, he gave you an opportunity to walk in a fresh anointing. To be like it was when you first got saved again. For it to be new again to you. For it to be fresh oil again. For it to be before you got hurt in church, before you saw all the junk in church, before it got political, before all the stuff you've been through, seen, disappointed. He said, I want you to get to the place. I want to bring you somewhere where all of that can move to the side, where what I've anointed you for, you can connect to again, and I can let it pour over you again. He said, for it flows to the skirt of the garment as a dew descended upon Hermon and upon Mount Zion. Something about the dew on those mountains, that no matter what season was like in the valley, it could have been a drought and famine. But the one thing that Israel could always count on, that no matter how dry it is down in the valley, there will be dew on the mountain. He said, I wanted you to connect to something that ain't about how seasons, dry seasons, rainy seasons, good seasons, bad seasons. I want you to connect to something that no matter where you are, every morning, my mercy will be new. There'll be dew on the mountain. And he said, for there I've commanded the blessing. Where's there? Where there's a brethren that's dwelled in unity. There's a commanded release of God. He said, I won't just maybe, I won't just might. It can't help but to be release the blessing if they will be the place called there. Why are you saying all this? Is because this body is made up of a whole lot of different people from a whole lot of different backgrounds, and that's Jesus. Because we're all many members with diverse gifts, with diverse backgrounds, but we are one body. And he said, if you're going to be one body, you can't all be the same. If you're going to be one body, one person may be the shouter and the other person just, you know, they're quiet. If you're going to be one and the shouter doesn't need to look down at the person quiet. And the person quiet doesn't need to roll their eyes at the shouter. You may come from a background that's brand new in Christ, never been saved before. And then there's going to come somebody else that you've been so saved so long, you can't remember when you weren't. And he said, we're all going to come with diverse gifts and diverse anointings and diverse purposes. And he said, the differences are purposeful because we can't be the same. He said, if we were all the eyes, then where's the hearing? If we are all ears, then where is the smell? And he said, don't let the eye say to the hand, because you're not me, I have no need for you. Look at your neighbor and say, you need me, whether you like it or not. Because we're all one body. You know what the Lord spoke to me, and I'll finish with this. He said, you know the scripture that it says that the Lord left the 99 to go find the one? The Lord spoke something to me this week. I've read that so many times. And we always preach it like this, like the Lord leaves the 99 and goes find the one because the one needs the 99, but the 99 needs the one. But God spoke to me something different. He said, the 99 doesn't mind him leaving to go find the one when the 99 realizes they were the one. Because there's no matter how long you've been in the 99, there was a season. You're the one. And the one needs the 99, but the 99 needs the one. Because when God moves, he doesn't move 99%. God doesn't move with 50%. God said, if you're ready for to move, I need the 100%. I need all in. Stand with me. Lift your hands in this room. I'm done. Anybody receive anything today? Y'all ain't gonna ever let me go on the road again. He comes back crazy. Why he say 28:19? It's because this might be a struggle if it was one of us supposed to reach all 19. And even then, it might not really be a struggle if we purposed ourselves. But as a body, that's why I'm so blessed at how God's moving. I know this is a different Sunday, but I know you'll fill this place next week. We'll fill it together. I'm believing God that we're going to have to stay in a perpetual building program. I'm going to pray to God that when we get to the elementary school, we're going to have to find the middle school. We find a middle school, we're going to have to find a high school, and then eventually we're going to have to find some place that we just put down on the ground. And then when we feel that, when we start building, I know we're going to have to already, like by the time it's finished, we're going to have to. It's because I'm looking at a group of people. Why this early speak this message? It's because I'm looking at a people that is, I've never seen, I've been in this thing a long time. And I've never seen God do what he's doing with us. And I know we got a lot of struggles to get through. And I know we got a lot of growing pains to get through. And I know there's a lot of stuff that's got to get filled here and there. And there'd be a reason for you to say, well, it's just not together enough. Man, they need to get it together and they need to, no. We need to get it together. And when we get it together, we're going to get it together. Lift your hands right now all over this room. I feel God so strong. Why are you saying this? Are you saying this? It sounds like you're preaching like to just those spiritual ones and those deep. No. What I'm telling you is that you're not here by accident. And don't let anybody talk your part of the body down. Don't you ever underestimate the significance of who you are in this body. Because none of us do this alone. None of us can do this by ourselves. Because this ain't about any one of us. This is about all of us for Him alone. This ain't my body. This is your God, the body of Christ. I just want you to get to the place where you understand. If I can't quit, neither can you. See, that's the thing, people don't get it. They're like, the pastor's got to be there. Oh, honey, you don't know when I woke up on the Eastern Shore this morning in Fruitland, Maryland, about 2.5-3 hours away from here, and I had 2 hours sleep last night. But it never crossed my mind. Not because I couldn't. It's because I can't. Because this ain't my doing. I didn't call myself. And neither did you. The call of God is on us. I want you to join hands with somebody next to you. I know I've gone long today, but I'm okay because it's just us. Lift that hand you're holding right now. I speak over your life. Watch this. I speak over your house. I speak over your family. I speak over your struggles. He said, when one of us suffers, we all suffer. When one of us is rewarded, we all rejoice. And today I make commitment and covenant that when you hurt, we all hurt. When you are blessed, we're all blessed. Because if it's the oil and you get hit with it, I'm just going to brace myself because you can't get it without me getting it too, because it's got to keep flowing. That's when you see somebody in this church get a promotion, you ought to just start shouting like you already know it's coming. Because whatever we're connected to, it's coming through us. Right now, lift your hands, that hand you're holding right now. And in the name of Jesus, I speak over this body. I declare there is a fresh oil. I declare, God, we are going to be united. I declare we're here for one purpose, one calling, one mission, one assignment. God, and though the cost may be great, we say yes. Though the requirement may require, but whom much is given, much is required. And God, we know you're going to give much, so we're prepared now for you to require much. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, whatever it means, God, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching toward that is before us. We press toward the mark of the calling that's on us. We will get this prize together. We will see you do it. Touch lives, touch people, reach this region, see real revival in people's lives forever. Touch the untouchable, love the unlovable, bring somebody who's hurting to a place of wholeness. Save entire households and families. And let it start with us. Right now, that person you're holding their hand, I want you to begin to pray right now for that person. I want you to pray for their calling. I want you to pray for their place in the body. I want you to pray for what God's called them to do. I don't care how they may have never done anything in church before. It doesn't make a difference. Now is the time. Now God has set you aside. Now is the season that God brought you and called you for such a time as this. This is your season for God to use you, for God to flow through you. And so we release God's anointing. We release the oil over this body. God, bless their business. Bless their home. Bless their children. God, bless everything that they have. Everything they touch, let it prosper. Let everything that's connected to this house be empowered. Let us have all things in common and let none of us lack for anything. Let no one have an area of insufficiency, but God bless all of us and let it flow through all of us as one body, as one church. Whew. I feel glory in this room. I feel the presence of God so strong in this room. If you receive that, give the Lord one last hand clap of praise in this house right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.